Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody. This is a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast, and we are on episode 48. You know me, my name is Zoinks, but I am joined by, well, let's face it, familiar faces to a lot of you. However, they are going to be sticking around a bit longer. Going forward, I was thinking a lot about what we wanted to do with Unite Mike's Overdunk as a show. I've loved season one so far. I've loved all the team interviews we've been able to do. Really trying to get to know the personalities of the competitive scene, whereas normally that can be tough to do with some of these players, even in different regions and things like that. We've interviewed teams from Japan, from Europe, from North America, from South America. We have really had an awesome experience of season one of Overdunk, so I'm casually calling this one a season two as we change up the format a bit. And by that, I mean we are going to have three new co-hosts on the show that are regulars. And now you already probably know them and love them, but I'm going to get a quick intro from each one of them anyways, just in case this is the first episode of Overdunk you find yourself listening to. Right above me, of course, is my partner in crime at Unite Mike's, Dupesnacks. Why don't you introduce yourself to the folks?
Hey, oh, Dupesnacks, the other half of Unite Mike's Pokemon Unite play-by-play caster, and that's the long and the short of it.
Yes, of course, the Unite Mike's duo is on the show for good now, but we've also hired on some incredible help. One of the biggest brains in the entire scene has joined us. That's right. I really could be talking about either one of these. They're both very smart. But this time, I was referring to Lazadin. Lazadin, welcome back to the show. You've been a frequent guest, but now you have found yourself in the co-host slot. Welcome in. Introduce yourself to somebody if they're listening for the first time.
Hey, I'm Laz. I'm the analyst slash sort of coach slash whatever. Well, there's no real titles to these things for Team Ascended, formerly known as Black Guy and the World Champions. I'm also one of the primary contributors for unite-db.com. I'm sure all of you use it. It's an awesome website.
Yeah, if you're listening to this show, you've probably used UniteDB before. That is, I think that is a fact that we can find. Last but certainly not least, we are able to nail them down for now, at least until the next official season starts, but we'll see from that point on. Ender, welcome back to the show and welcome as a co-host.
Thank you. Yes, my name's Ender. I am a professional support player for, I guess, Team TTV currently. Been playing the game since the day it came out. I stream every day, play Pokemon Unite. I love the game. That's me.
Sweet. Well, just as much as everyone's been using Unite DB, if you're listening to this, you probably have also found yourself on Ender's Twitch stream. How could you not? Incredible place to be. Now, let's start into what is a pretty exciting time, in my opinion, for Pokemon Unite. We've had a lot of changes in this most recent patch. We've had a new Pokemon drop, some new held items being released into the game. Draft mode is available in custom lobbies. Ranked ladder has seen some changes, question mark. It may be bugged still, but who knows? There are some changes there. We got a lot to talk about in the patch in general, but I want to just open it up to anybody. Is there any big change coming in from this patch? Balance change, new item, new Pokemon that really stands out to any one of us that you really want us just, you have to talk about it right now.
Okay, I think I'll go first since I was on the, we had the patch preview stream where we talked the data mines and stuff. I feel like a little bit of one of my predictions has sort of fallen flat, but also sort of came true, which was specifically the scarf prediction. Scarf is one of the most powerful items in the game. It is absurd.
What
it's done to the meta is insane. Like, you see a bunch of characters you just weren't seeing before. It's getting slapped on basically everything. I had people arguing about Scarf Lucario the other day. I don't know what to feel about that one. But yeah, it's just been such an insanely powerful item. And the one thing, it's not only has it helped, like, especially like Alola Ninetales, right, with her late game, especially, but like the ADCs in the mid game, like all of a sudden, you weren't that scared of a Rabboot walking into your lane before, but now that thing just kills you.
Yes, it does. Murderous intent
and
on a Scorbunny is pretty terrifying. Yeah.
And it also just, like, objectives just melt now. Like, they are gone in seconds. There's a Duraludon on the enemy team, you have 5 seconds before Ray is gone. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Scarf's been so, so impactful on the meta.
Okay. Everybody else, same vibes? Are we thinking that Scarf is really as much of a takeover as it is? Ender, have you found the same thing on ladder and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Scarf finally brings the ADCs like an extra item that like the special attackers kind of had. Melee, well, the melee attackers had access to Razor Claw, which, you know, people are playing on like Cinder and Dura and whatnot, but mostly because they just didn't have a better option. And now there's some real choice there, and maybe Scarf is just gonna be the de facto item. It probably will be, but no, I think it's nice. I think it's good to have. I've been playing MOBAs for 10 years. I'm very old school from the perspective of I like games that are played front to back. I feel like, you know, both sides have like a good chance to make outplay, and then the meta can develop from there. And a meta where Cinder is viable, I think, is a healthy meta.
Okay, cool. I like that opinion. I like that opinion a lot. Doosnacks, any thoughts on Scarf for what it's done to the meta, kind of this rise of ADCs back into the meta game a little bit?
Yeah, so not just that, but kind of everything you listed to kind of kick off this conversation, I think has brought a very strong breath of fresh air to the game. Logging in after the patch felt like I was playing something new, which is in and of itself pretty exciting, specifically in the MOBA genre, which is, you know, it can be fairly canned from time to time, depending on how the metagame shakes out. So I thought that was terrific. You see, as Laz mentioned, a bunch of new Pokemon that you weren't necessarily, you know, seeing before. You know, and just speaking to the draft mode, the items, the new characters being added in, first off, refreshing, as I mentioned, but there's definitely some shades and tips of the cap that the developers are listening to the community and things we want, like splitting the rank mode out. Like, is it a home run? Is it working the way that we all anticipated it? No, but it's a step towards what a lot of people have been clamoring for, and a step is still a step in the right direction, and I think we can't lose sight of that. You know, for those of us that care about the competitive game, the rank system in the game, and just the overall structure. So that, and of course, the draft mode looks beautiful. It doesn't, I think the time frames are a little off. Of course, the bugs are a nuisance without a doubt. But again, you have to give credit where it's due. That's something that people have been barking about, and you know, at least they've taken the steps to deliver on it, and make it what I assume to be part of the, you know, second season of competitive. So I'm excited for those things, those developments that we've seen, which are big integral changes that'll definitely change the texture of the game moving forward. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Well, Unite Mike's fans are just know that the draft graphic that we are going to use on Unite Mike's Mayhem gets to live on for another couple of weeks. Whether you love it or hate it, it's still going to exist. I'm in the hate camp, but it's still real. So it'll be there. But Ender, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that I definitely agree in the sense that, yeah, the matchmaking the last couple of days has been suspicious, but I'd much rather they go and break the system than they do nothing at all, because it means at least they're
Ooh,
trying, right?
that's a
Like, it
great
shows
point.
that they're trying.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I mean, that's something that players have kind of been demanding for in a lot of fringe cases. Yes, matchmaking is definitely one, but the demand to just break it and see what happens is honestly a huge, you know, gamer desire in any competitive game that is a live service game. So many times these patches are made with small incremental changes, and we eventually get to something broken. Points at Serena, Lucario, points at the opposite problem, maybe. It just takes so many small changes before that Pokemon is kicked out of the metagame. But it's always the desire, at least on Twitter, of gamers to be like, just break it all and let us see what's broken and what's not. High frequency of patches is what people demand. Personally, as a big fan of the competitive scene of games, I find that in a shaky territory where things end up. But hey, I mean, it really is cool to see things like that happening. Now, about matchmaking, we do have not exactly confirmation, but a Facebook post, I believe, from the Pokemon Unite Philippines Facebook account, saying that a couple of bugs are being addressed. One, Snorlax's block is going to be addressed on the 8th of December, so in 2 days. Hopefully that's completely fixed. Right now, they only reference the block plus being given at block level being fixed and not some of the other things, so hopefully it's a holistic bug fix on that one. And then they are also talked about ranked bugs happening where you were getting ranked with very, very different skill levels, even outside of that master skill range. So hopefully things that will be cleaned up in just a couple of days. But yeah, sweeping changes across the board have been pretty exciting.
They actually did also tweet that out on one of the Japanese Twitter accounts as well at a couple
Sweet.
other spots, so that's basically I think we're seeing confirmed. The block thing, it actually is how, like, the current way block functions is actually the way how block plus used to function. It's just nobody knew that because just relax, it never hits level 13.
Right. Ah, yes, that's a good point.
So, like, that's part of the reason why it was kind of iffy whether or not it was a bug to begin with, but they're now updating the description of block plus now that we know, so we're supposed to know that it actually makes it stun more, so that's great.
Gotcha. No more EXP share on Snorlax. It's off. We're now we need
No,
that 13.
you're keeping EXP you're on Snorlax.
All right. I'll try to believe as much as I can. As much as I can. Lazen, and you talked a lot already about, I believe it's Rapid Fire Scarf is the actual name, right? Unbelievable they didn't just say Choice Scarf and put that in the game. My VGC mind is crying. But Rapid Fire Scarf is in the game, and so is Drain Crown. I noticed you didn't say it as the thing you needed to talk about right now. And I also noticed you're shaking your head a little bit and maybe disgust. So talk to me about Drain Crown, and is it anything?
It's bad. That's just the easy way of putting it. It's
Okay.
bad. I
Now, have
wish
you
it was
seen my
better.
Garchomp games with Drain Crown, though?
Okay. So the one thing, so there's two weird things about Drain Crown. One, they decided to not make it function like every other source of lifesteal in the game. It's actually different, which is bizarre.
Interesting.
The way it works is it does 10% of the actual damage you deal as physical damage, right? Like that's how much you heal.
Right.
The problem is, one, that makes it so it doesn't function on true damage, so you don't heal off of Tyranitar's autos. That's weird.
Right.
And two, damage to shields isn't damage. So you actually don't lifesteal off of damage to shields.
Interesting.
With Drain Crown specifically, with regular lifesteal, you do. That used to be a bug, but they fixed it.
Okay.
So those two things, combined with the fact that, just generally speaking, 10% isn't actually that much, right? If you're thinking about how much your average Cinderace auto does, it's like 400 to 600 damage if you're not critting, right? Like somewhere around there, right? That's only like 40 to 60 health, and that's before defense reductions. Your HP pool is on Cinder in the mid like 4 or 5 thousands late game, and also the damage numbers in this game are extremely high.
Right, yeah, you're
Cinders tend
doing
to
like
die in
1100 damage
mere
to aim
seconds,
attack.
yeah,
Yeah.
so it doesn't actually provide that much of value. It has its niche cases, right? Like obviously Garchomp is one who can use it, but most Garchomps prefer triple damage. And then you have cases like there's the kind of Razor Leaf Decidueye meme, which I don't think is very good, but it's a solid option.
EU
It
probably is
has
playing Drain Crown on Razor Leaf Decidueye. No matter what I say on this podcast, EU always plays Razor Leaf Decidueye, and I can't
yeah
stop them, so they are continuing to do so, I am sure.
Knowing them,
look
they would probably slap an attack weight on that anyways.
Absolutely,
True.
absolutely, they would. Beyblade to the truest form. That is where they
True.
need to go.
Yeah. So I think that item definitely, I don't want to say it's leftovers tier, but it's definitely
Ooh.
down there.
Wow. Okay, even putting them in the same sentence is scary, scary territory for you, Lazada. That's rough. Okay, well. So one thing we should talk about held items too is that we had a lot more in that datamine leak. However, we only have two and not the battle item that we did talk about on last podcast being added to the game. Do we have any like wild predictions on what we think the release schedule is going to be for those items? We've had a rapid fire release schedule for Pokemon being added to the game recently. A lot of people theorizing that is because of draft mode coming to the game, just trying to shore up that roster a little bit. Could not be that reason. We don't know exactly why. However, only two out of the leaked items have been added into the game. Any thoughts? Are we going to see this a monthly release with new Pokemon being added? What are we thinking for the held items that have not been added to the game yet?
I, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, just go ahead, Ender. I'm sure what you're going to say is far more intelligent than what's going to roll out of my face. So.
I'm not too sure about that. I think definitely we'll see it within the next month or so. I think everyone's kind of loosely hoping that UCS starts in February like it did last year, which would, the hope would be that if they're gonna release something that they give us a month before they go and reshape up the game again. So I'm fingers crossed that, everything is lining up that we're gonna have something at the start of next month. Like this is a shorter battle pass, shorter season. Maybe they want to start the new year out with a bang. One of the complaints I guess I have with how they're doing these releases though, and this is purely from like a ladder perspective and
Sure.
more solo queue if anything, is one thing they used to do was that they would make balance changes to generally to all the roles, so that people that are excited to try new things, your games aren't filled with everyone wanting to try the same type of role. And what's happened this season, and why I think a lot of people are so frustrated in solo and duo queue, is everyone wants to play the Scarf item, but only realistically only two people at most are going to have it on a team. And it feels like the next release schedule, maybe it's not as much of a problem for tanks, but it seems like it's going to be like two support or tank related items or a special attack related item. So I don't know. I'd like to see them balance out the types of stuff they change at a time, because it just like bottlenecks like everyone into wanting to play the same thing.
Well, they fixed that with gem-only releases. So now only a certain number of people get to play the Pokemon. Dupes, next, you were going to mention something about these items as well.
Oh yeah, I just thought it makes sense to release the items, at least to me, when a new Pokemon comes out, introduce the new items. And to Ender's point, of course, balancing things in a way that doesn't exactly bottleneck everybody into wanting to do the exact same things over and over again. So, great point by Ender, and I'll just supplement that. I believe the held items, it makes sense to me to roll those into with the Pokemon themselves. The Shedinja Jaw, man, that's I hope they give us at least a month before UCS kicks off with that thing. Holy smokes, I do not want to see that thing hit in the middle of this event kicking off, because I think it's going to be a little wild, a little wild.
They're adding stopwatch. They're adding stopwatch to Unite, and I, it's you don't have to buy it. You just get it at the start of the game. So that's neat. going to be a wild. We're getting gem only release. Please, Lesson, don't spread horrible hate in our chat. yeah, that would be pretty crazy. If you're interested in all of the data mine things that El Chico Eevee has brought out, listen to last week's episode. We went very in depth on even Pokemon that have been data mined to come out soon. But one Pokemon that has released so far that we should talk about is Urshifu. The newest all-arounder being added to the cast, a very, very cool Pokemon. The first legendary Pokemon to be added to Pokemon Unite. Pretty sweet addition as well. I think very fun to play. Is followed by some caveats of gem-only release action and, of course, a few bugs associated with the Pokemon as well, particularly in Wicked Blow. But what do we think of this new Pokemon addition to the roster? Has
New
anyone played this
Lucario?
Pokemon so far?
Yeah, I spammed it a bunch.
Okay, good.
It feels like a high, like they took Lucario and some other all-rounders and like mashed together their playstyles and made this new Pokemon. Two very, very different builds, like two lines of playing. I've really focused on the red one, the one that's like Power Up Punch Lucario. And I don't know, it's mid to late game seems really, really strong, but for once, they released a character that has like very clear strengths and very clear weaknesses. Like its early game is one of probably the worst of all the all-rounders that we have, and we have T-Tar and Garchomp and whatnot and Serena, but it's just absolutely horrible. So I don't know if it'll have an application at like the highest level of play, but definitely like it seems like a good, and after a while, it seems like a solid first release that we've had.
What do you think are its strengths? I mean, you've listed a lot of weaknesses, but what do you think are like some big things it has going for it on the other side?
It's Wicked Blow, the move that's similar to Pup Lucario, is built-in unstoppable, built-in damage reduction. Right, damage reduction gets pumped to 60% that of 11 while you're charging it. Its Unite move refreshes it and also has an insane damage output, whether that's ratio and its base. It's just it pretty much. I think it'll one-shot any character in the game it gets its Unite on. Which is cool, but it can get unstoppable. You can walk, you can dodge its moves. It's got a horrible early game, so it seems kind of balanced, I think. I'm not too sure though.
Well, I'm going to agree with you, but if we are going to be going with Wicked Blow being the move of choice, my prediction, best player for Urshifu, Season 2 of UCS, is going to be Redmaw. Red Maw is going to be the best Urshifu player in the entire season. That is my prediction. I don't think it's exactly a hot take. We got the best Pop Lucario in the world. I mean, it's just going to be transferable skills. That's what I like to believe. But yeah, I think the Pokemon's sick. I think it's really, really fun to play. I think it's going to be an exciting Pokemon to watch. It definitely has that slow moving, you know, ball of destruction that you can see. It's not exactly the Wile E. Coyote or anything, but just that slow moving tank that can absolutely destroy if you're not aware of what it can do. So it's definitely going to be a bit of a skill diff Pokemon. I think in drafts it's a pretty exciting prospect as well. I think both I think they fill the same role as Lucario as well. It's just a decent mid game draft pick. Can't really, you know, plays pretty well into most team compositions due to the versatility of their moves. You can play around a lot of the opponent's decisions because of it. I can play for objective, can play for team fight. I think it's a good slot in that same way. Doopsnax or Lassadin, any thoughts on this Pokemon's new release?
Sure. I feel like it's a very, very interesting Pokemon. It's one of the higher skill ceilings ones they've released, I think. Like Red's pretty straightforward at first, but there's a lot of like knowing when to hold, when to just quick tap, when like how to use your combos with like throat chop.
Sure.
The punch flash combo that used to exist on Lucario still exists on this Mon, whether or not that's intentional, I don't know.
Don't tell him. I like it.
I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. Like it's a great display of skill. It does have a couple of bugs with both the ultimates that make it a little bit tough to judge sometimes. Like, I've had people just walk out of my blue ults. Like, it was bizarre.
Yeah.
And the red ult is flashable, which is, you know, that's another display of skill, right? Like, I'm actually fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Ender that the early game does potentially hamper its ability to be played at the highest level. Kubfu is the worst Pokemon they've ever released. Oh my gosh, that thing is terrible. Just Kubfu.
So cute though. So
it is adorable. I love the little guy. He's trying his hardest to be a Lucario cosplay, and then he presses his Meteor Mash and it does half the damage and doesn't stun you. Awesome.
It really is just the worst move.
But yeah, so like I love the little guy. I think it was a really awesome Pokemon. I've seen the red build does tend to be more dominant, and if you look at the win rates for the last week, all the win rates are very, very bad right now because it's one mixed data, two early season, like there's a million caveats, right?
Sure.
Gem only released, so the player base is limited.
I'll still post them. Give me that screenshot. I'll get it for free.
But like red's at like 53% or something, which is very, very high for a new release, versus blue, which is only like 48%.
Okay.
I know Overlord is playing a lot of both. He preferred blue, I think, but that's just mostly because he's a very much like try to skill check people kind of guy, and blue is very much skill checky.
True.
As far as draft goes, it provides, similar to Lucario, provides a very interesting flexibility that you can just grab in the middle of your draft and you don't actually know what it is. Sure, it's probably a top laner, like you can guess that. But what's it going to do for their draft? Like they could flip on it, they could flip with it, they can team fight with it, and you just don't know until you actually get in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. Do you snacks any thoughts on this new Pokemon?
Yeah, just great, great high skill ceiling. It's going to be a lot of fun watching it in the hands of some strong mechanical players going into the competitive season. So that's my two cents. That's what I'm about when it comes to those. And personally, I like the red set, but watching people schmoove in blue is pretty awesome as well. So just from a caster perspective, both evolution trees provide a lot of like fun watching experience and great moments. So I'm excited for that too.
The Doopsnax, you know, play on words with all the things he can do with a Kung Fu bear are just, I can see the gears already moving in your head.
The list is long, baby.
Yeah, it's going to be real, real good. Ender, were you going to say one more thing about Urshifu here?
One thing that we didn't talk about, and it kind of relates to the entire game as a whole and how they're balancing around it, is Urshifu, just no matter what build you are, all your damage sources go through shields. And it's also something that just stops Rayquaza completely. Like your basic attack, your boosted, any one of your moves, your unite, like any single thing you do will go through a shield. Thinking about like how they're balancing the game, they removed that aspect from Charizard, but then brought it with Urshifu. And then they keep like buffing how Rayquaza, like the effects that it gives. So truthfully, I'm like kind of lost on what their direction is with how they want to balance it. But I think those kind of mechanics are really scary because it incentivizes the team that has them to just flip Bray, and they can have possible like good positive outcomes on either end. They can defend really easily, or if they win the flip, they win the game. See, I'm not sure. Like Rayquaza has been a pretty touchy subject for a lot of Unite players, whether you're solo queuer, casual player, or even the best players. But I don't know. What do you guys think about Rayquaza? What's going on with that?
Before we talk about Ray, can we actually talk about Charizard for a second? Because I know a lot of people are like, yeah, so they took away Charizard's true damage, which makes him so much worse in the final 2 minutes after the game, exponentially worse after Ray gets knocked out. Of course, he was one of the Pokemon that could hit through shield, stop scores, blah, blah, blah. There has to be some other reason that this tuning was put onto Charizard, right? I mean, you just mentioned it, like the push to try to give Ray more viability and seize more time, gets knocked out more often. There's a bigger impact on game endings. It seems very counterintuitive with the Charizard change. Is there anything else I'm missing? Like, are they trying to buff Reggie shields that you get from bottom path? Like, I don't understand it. In my mind, it has to be from something else. Why are they doing Charizard like this?
I mean, like, Charizard's win rate wasn't bad. Like, it was okay, like, slightly above average. And, like, I can kind of get that true damage is maybe a mechanic they don't want to have to balance around, but doing it without also buffing the damage of the auto is very weird to me. I
Yeah,
had a
just a
game.
strict nerf, right? Like, not even like a rework. It is just a we want this Pokemon less good and hit that button.
I had a game where a Charizard, I think I got ulted by a level 14 Charizard as a level 12 Snorlax, and I just stood there for the entire duration of his ult, and I did not die. And
Yes.
that's not something that should be happening.
Probably not.
Like, it's really weird. I said as much when I wrote the patch notes for this one. Like, when I wrote the, for UnitedB, I was just largely confused, and, like, even now, like, after playing the game for a week, I'm just as confused as when it came out.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay, anyway, sorry. That was my random rant on Charizard. Let's talk about Rayquaza as a touch note in general. Like Ender just brought up, what are our opinions on the direction that they have been going with Ray? I think for me personally, the initial change was like, I get it. Okay, no one's touching this Pokemon. Like, it is the center, like, it is the end game of design. It is supposed to be the big flashy fight. This is a mobile MOBA with 10-minute games. They want a natural progression. They want somewhere for players to gather at the end. And of course, they want some kind of comeback mechanic. I get the change. The doubling down on it is what was the, like, shocker to me, I think, where they lowered it, like, even more. Or they're not, I don't think they lowered the health even more. They increased the, sorry, that's right. They increased the benefits that Ray was giving, more so.
And then they did it again without telling us.
Yeah, then that, yeah, I mean, that's sort of par for the course at this point, but I am surprised by it. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words at this point. Deuce Next, any thoughts on this, all this stuff?
Yeah, so from a solo queue casual perspective, I think it's easy to see the thought patterns there, where we ended up where we are. From a competitive standpoint, I think like OG first iteration of Ray was a ton of fun, but also can see where, like you said, it kind of took away from what that flashy big moment in the middle was. So I'm with you. I think the first step down makes a lot of sense and brings parity. Was less excited to see the next iteration, and then the third to where we are now. I really, because the song and dance that happened around Ray was so much fun. The bat caps, the playing defense, and then like three people in the middle, and then like would you go hunt in their central to try and track down where they were? And then it really just forced people to play in a very unique way, and it made the texture of every single game different, which was exciting and fun. That being said, casting that Rayquaza as Rayquaza as you and I have done, it's like it's not as sexy to be
That's
quite
true.
frank, right? It's not what Zapdos used to be, where it was just complete slobber knockers in the middle. So from a viewing perspective, I think it makes sense. from a like player perspective, on the highest competitive level, I think it leaves something a little bit to be desired. Yeah. And I think just balancing it back a little bit more to where it was after the first adjustment is going to be the happiest medium that'll check the most boxes for most people. A little bit of a windy path, but that's kind of my overall assessment of the Rayquaza saga at this point.
I get you. I actually want to read Gatlu's Twitch chat message he just posted. So this is Gatlu, obviously known incredible player from EU. I think it's pretty hard to make Ray benefits balance. Since Ray is an endgame objective that only spawns once, a Unite game is 10 minutes. And without a main objective, it ends up being really one-sided. Now, agree or disagree with that opinion? I think he's right. I think Ray benefits are hard to balance. Now, I think what it really comes down to is how much of an I win button do we want Ray to be? I think that's really what it comes down to. If you get Ray, should you win the game? How much should your percentage increase or lower from getting that objective? I think it's the math equation that the developers are trying to figure out. It's what the fans are trying to figure out, just gauging their own enjoyment or lack thereof of watching competitive Pokemon Unite. So I think that's sort of where I have landed, is that right now Rayquaza is too much of an I win button, and therefore it is too much of an incentive to play one strategy. I think that's the biggest downfall, is that we are pushing. If the percentage of winning is that high, it doesn't make sense to try different things, because if you try things, you lose, and losing's bad. And that's where I have come to. So Ender, there is our opinions on Ray, I think, as a whole. Where are you landing now?
I agree with what you guys are saying, what Gatlu's saying, that it's going to be hard to balance, and it, you know, probably needs to exist just from the game's perspective as like this end game objective. Mm-hmm. But I don't understand the point in constantly buffing it. Like, you know, I feel like we get to a spot where it's like, all right, you know, we can, this feels good. You know, you get Ray, you know, you have to make an effort to still push with it, but you know, most times you can still siege with it, and then it's like we're just going to keep buffing it and buffing it. Mm-hmm. If it's supposed to just be if you get Ray, you win the game, I guess that makes sense. I don't think many competitive players would find that very satisfying, like, mm-hmm. you know, winning the first 9 minutes of the game, and then because, you know, a Scald tick, you know, ticks better than your damage, you lose the game. Like, that doesn't seem
That's never happened before, though, so don't worry about it.
Right.
Not like it's happened on the biggest stage in the world or anything like that. It's fine.
Yeah, I think that'll be frustrating for all sorts of players, but I don't know. Maybe they can find creative ways to get around that. Maybe draft will make the game so much more interesting that we'll see more strategies around it. Well, you know, I'm excited for what's to come, but it is frustrating.
Ender, that's why you are a co-host, because I do want to talk about draft next. We've been talking about a lot of it in aspects throughout the show. We mentioned it in Pokemon selection. We're mentioning it already around the metagame when it comes to Ray and the current competitive landscape that we find ourselves in. But draft mode is officially in the game. Not in ranked, not even if you hit master. I know there was a lot of believers in chat that were saying as soon as you hit master, it'll be there. I watched the sadness on Ender's stream. It was tough to see that revelation. But that being said, we do have it in custom games. Let's get out of the way, though. First off, it not being in ranked right away, yay or nay? Knowing the current state that the mode is actually in, though, I think it's something we need to acknowledge here, whether it should be in ranked or not. And I think I'm a little happy it is not in ranked in the current state it is in. It would give me more anxiety than Solo Queue normally does. So that is something that I am a little bit concerned for. But everybody else, what are our opinions on draft mode? Currently not in ranked, but
I'm okay with them not having it in ranked. If they need to use the live server as a testing grounds to see if their product actually works, go for it. I'd rather not have to have that on in my ranked games right now. They can fix it. I'll be happy when they do, and then we can get it.
Okay. And I think we should talk about the big fixes that a lot of people are wanting. One, timing for Pokemon selection is quite short, especially when it uses kind of standard MOBA drafting mechanics of two picks in a row for teams. And it still only gives you, I think it's like 20 seconds right now. Is it 30? It's 20 or 30. For two picks in a row. So both players are picking. The time to switch Pokemon between you and your teammates at the end of the game is extremely short, especially when you switch Pokemon. You also need to adjust their item sets and things like that, depending on what the draft ended up being. Of course, knowing your team composition is going to affect how you want to build your Pokemon. So having less time to do that, as well as having to switch because of playing good draft strategy, really just feels like it's punishing strategy more than anything. So love to see that change. And then, of course, there's a variety of bugs in this new game mode, specifically randomizing the last player's pick, I think is the most glaring one to me.
Or the one that bans every Pokemon.
That one's exciting. I don't actually know which one's more frustrating, honestly. I can't tell, but they do both exist. So yeah, some things that definitely need to get changed. Dupesnacks, it's not in ranked yet. Are you one of the people that is believing that this mode needs to be in ranked, though, or are you wanting no draft in ranked in Pokemon Unite?
I definitely want it in ranked, but I agree. You know, we kind of went through the concept of breaks, like move fast, break stuff, show progress, right?
Right.
But there's a difference between, let's say, an overpowered item and shoving this thing into ranked and then making your game literally unplayable.
Right.
Right. So I want to be very clear, move fast, break stuff when it comes to like new characters, items, things of that nature, but on actual structural integrity of building the game that you're trying to play. You know what? The fact that the state it's in now and the fact that it's not in ranked is great, because I can't imagine the uproar that if it was in ranked and it was operating the way it was right now. So I'll consider that, hindsight being 2020, looks like we got away with one, but I'm excited for them to get it sorted out, fixed up, adjust the time frames right, make sure that that gets correct, build it up right, get it to where it is so we can... You know, so when we hit the UCS season, it can be displayed. It can get people that play Pokemon Unite excited about it, understand how it works better by watching the top players work through it. And then it can be a more successful integration into the rank ladder, in my opinion. So I think if you would have asked me before it released, I would have said, put it in there. But now that we've lived with it for a little bit, I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's all right. It's all right where it's at. You know, let's just sort it out and we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah. Lazarus, any more thoughts on draft mode not being in ranked, being in ranked, anything like that?
So I think in the long term, it'll be a good thing. The player base does have a tendency to learn a little slow. Like, that is the thing that is existing. I still don't think people have a... Sorry.
I'm just pandering to the player base. I think we learn very quickly. My Twitter at is at Zoinkscat. Anyway, continue.
My Twitter at's at Lazenin11. Feel free to flame me.
Sure.
Lazenin1, rather. Lazenin1. But yeah. So like it does happen, right? Like it'll take people some time to get adjusted to, like, and I know there's like people that are like, well, I only like playing this one Pokemon and I don't want there to be a draft because I can't play my one pick. Just so you know, NA Challenger and League is filled with one tricks. Like you'll be fine. Yeah. You'll play your one trick 80-90% of the time.
You don't have enough time to go and look at the profile. Right now, you do not have enough time anyways.
you just don't have enough time.
You gotta go quick.
I agree, especially the double picks. 20 seconds for a double pick is super egregious and shouldn't happen. 20 seconds for a single pick, I think, one, indicates to me that they want to bring it to ranked eventually.
Yeah, that was my thoughts when I saw it too. Yeah.
Big concerns was, I don't want my games to be extended by another 5 minutes, right?
Right.
It was just totally valid, right?
Sure.
But two, like, shows that, like, they are listening. Like, they do want it. I think, like, extend the double pick to 20 seconds per, so, like, 40, and then extend the final screen to, like, 60 seconds. And I think we've got a very solid product. And obviously, you know, fix the problems where people are getting every Pokemon banned and the randomness, and also make the server selection button work. Fix all those things. That'd be awesome. Yeah. And I cannot wait to see it ranked with all that done.
Yeah. Yeah, dream scenario for me is, I mean, we find a number that works, probably doubling up on double picks for ranked mode and maybe another 30 seconds in that final mode to switch and pick item loadouts is probably my perfect world there. In custom mode, just give me a knob to turn. Give me a time per pick. Like, that is dream scenario. So I could increase the time, I could lower the time, right? That probably wouldn't do that, but just give me some more tools to play with in custom lobby as an admin slot and I would be a very happy Zoinks.
Second speed draft, Zoinks.
Speed draft. Wait a minute. That is so fun, though. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Speed draft tournament needs to happen. Okay.
Charity event incoming, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
See you in 2 months.
Oh, exactly. Ender, any thoughts on draft mode in the game right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not functioning as it should be, but I mean, the intent and like the direction they're going with, I'm really excited. Like,
sweet.
we need drafts. Like, talking about like how the cast works, like blind pick, I think is just not a good format anymore with how many Pokemon we have and some of the interactions that exist. And it's just the game's going to be a lot more interesting with draft. I'm really excited about it.
That's true. All right. Well, Deuceaxe and I are just casters. We are, you know, lowly talking people. So the two of you are players and analysts alike. I want each of you, to Lazen and Ender, give us a do and a don't of draft, because it is newly coming to Pokemon Unite. So tell the competitive community, what is one do and what is one don't when it comes to draft mode?
So do's, pay attention to... First of all, keep your own pool in mind. Don't be one of those people that says, I can pick everything.
Called like, out. It's cool.
No, I do that too. Like, I do that too. it's like, it's okay. Like, pay, like, keep your own pool in mind and just always be thinking about, hey, what works best with my team, right? Mm-hmm. Try to play to your team's game plan. Don't go to your favorite, you know, I mean, you used to do this, like, people do this in League a lot. You can't really do it in Unite yet, but, like, you know, don't go, like, pick the counter pick to the first thing you see in the enemy team. Like, oh, I see Scyther, I pick Slowbro. Like, have you played a Slowbro game in your life? Like, or is Scyther even the primary carry? Is their Scyther player even good? You don't know these questions. It's better to play around your own team's game plan and your game plan than it is to try to play around theirs.
All I heard was Slowbro stunks through the roof in draft mode. It's what I like to hear. Enter any do or don'ts.
Definitely on the do side, you know, be cognizant of how first and second pick interacts with what the Pokemon pool is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, if your first pick, your bans should be different, whether or not your first or second pick,
right?
And how you can shape up the pool of Pokemon to exist. And on the don't side, don't be afraid to pick carries in higher slots. Like, a lot of times, traditionally, what we see a lot in draft is supports or tanks getting the early picks and the carries coming on later, but there's been metas where the carry Pokemon are few and far between in terms of what they can offer, so find balances. Obviously, don't just first pick Gengar every game, even if it's good, but try, you know, don't be afraid to experiment with that.
Okay. Yeah, I like that advice. That's really fantastic advice. Now, Deuceaxe, I'm sorry. I threw us under the bus. If you have a do and a don't of draft mode, please absolutely drop the knowledge right now.
Great time, I guess. A little quick do is it's a great time to understand what held items do what and what battle items work well against what Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Because that's my opinion. What's going to be most fun about this draft is the item switching that's going to happen based on the opposing composition. I think that's super exciting. I think it adds an extra level of dynamic that a lot of Unite players haven't experienced yet because of how the ranked mode works, and if they haven't necessarily been in the tournament scene or played in a draft tournament, Unite Mike's Mayhem shout out, then they might not understand the minutiae that goes into that. So I think that's going to be an interesting and important learning curve for the folks going into that.
Yeah, it's always fun to see an entire team of full heels after a draft. Okay, yeah, I see how this went. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Well, we're getting near to the end of our show for tonight. So there's one more topic I really wanted to talk about. It's a pretty big one, and it is just the entirety of the off season. So off season, we had Worlds what seems like an eon ago, and we're still waiting on an announcement for an official season 2 of the Unite Championship Series. Very, very confident that it is going to be happening. I am extremely confident in said thing. A lot of the other members of this show are as well. However, we have no announcement yet. It's been a long off season for sure. can I just get a general vibe check on this offseason from you all who are on the show and, of course, the people that you know and talk to in this scene? It's been a tough one. I have seen some exciting things. I mean, community tournaments have been popping off, especially in the last month or so. We've had a huge, huge uptick in numbers for a lot of community tournaments. Victory Road's been absolutely popping. EU players been playing in Victory Road again, which is dope. Victory Road's popping off. Unite Battle Hub's been increasing in numbers of entrants. Of course, the Mayhem tournament that Unite Mics is running is really, really excited for it to be happening starting this week, tomorrow, in fact. So excited for that one too. So there's a lot of stuff happening. More teams are showing up now, but it was a long journey to get here. So general vibe check on the offseason. Anybody can go here.
Go ahead, Ender.
Every time we get a patch, it's like, it feels like, yes, you know, the game's gonna, like, we got, like, this is our patch, it's gonna be so much fun. Mm-hmm. Draft is coming, this Pokemon's coming out, new items are coming. And then, like, during the off season, I feel like it's been like a lot of we're almost there, and then a big letdown. Mm-hmm. And then we get teased up again, and it's a letdown. Yeah. I know, like, what the future can look like, and I think is going to look like in the direction that they're going. Frequent releases, draft, new items, like, you know, they're pumping in content to the game.
Yeah.
But it just feels like, it's like, oh man, we're so close. Like, just give it to us now. Like, why does the game keep breaking? What's going on? Like, I want to just play the game for 16 hours a day. Like, but after like 6 or 7 hours, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go shiny hunt now. Like, it's a little too frustrating to keep playing. So I don't know. Yeah. We're so close.
Okay, I got you. So a lot of your opinions or feelings towards it seem a lot more game-oriented than competitive scene-oriented. Am I on the money here?
I feel like the competitive scene is going to start when it starts. Sure. Which the off-season is long, which I guess is frustrating, but I feel like I just expected that it was always going to start probably in the new year and go until Worlds. Yeah. And then the community would have to fill in between. If we had winter tournaments like Japan does, I mean, that would be so cool. And I don't know why we can't have something like that. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Give us winter tournaments. I've said this, I think, maybe even on the podcast, but I said it a lot at least the three of you. It's just, this offseason really taught me how impactful Shiny League was pre-UCS. Like, Shiny League was so big for the scene. I think next season we should all really be, like, anyone on the tournament organizer front should be banding together trying to find a big organization to try to host some kind of tour, which would be really exciting, would definitely help the more competitive grind, you know, put on their headset, blast some Linkin Park and play for hours and hours and hours. It's a terrible band example, but you do understand what I mean. Two Snacks or Lazadin, vibe check on off season.
Or less.
So I think this offseason is very interesting. The experience I've seen, like, I'm basically living two different experiences, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching my boys who are just won the world championship, and they're tired of this game. Like, they played it all day for 2 weeks straight. They're done.
Yeah.
And they're slowly over time, like, every new patch they'll play a little bit more. And, like, the last couple of days, the most I've seen them in a long time, they've been loving this patch.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really awesome. Just, like, it gave us a nice little time. And I think that's, like, true for all the players, especially the ones who are at Worlds, to just have that break and just be able to just enjoy the game a little bit more, not have to worry too much about the competitive mindset of it. Or just play different games entirely, you know?
Yeah.
But people are getting hungrier and hungrier, right? And then versus the other side of it, which is like the analyst side and the UNITED side, where, wow, this offseason has been fast. Holy cow. It's
really?
It's patches every couple of weeks. I'm staying up till 2 a.m. every time, trying to make sure everything's in order. Like, you know, it's been crazy, crazy fast. And seeing all these, like, and trying to keep track of all these new players that are coming in. Like, we have a couple of very clear winners for this offseason. There's been, especially Radiance. Like, Radiance are the big standouts for the offseason. They have been performing fantastically. I am not biased at all. I definitely did not coach two of those players on my first team. You never forget
Unite Mike's paid podcast. This is ridiculous. Paid actors. Oh my gosh.
So you see some of those, and like I also see some like more mid-tier teams that I'm like, okay, like you guys see like you have potential.
Yep.
We might not see you in January, but I have a feeling we'll see you by like, March or AOS Cup, right? Like this is looking cool. Like I'm super, super excited. And I just cannot wait for the announcement.
Yeah, no, likewise, likewise.
We just, those, Ender said it perfectly for me. We need one of those winter events at least around the world. Get everybody re-engaged. I mean, it's very easy to follow the trajectory after Worlds, the high that everybody that was involved in the game, whether you're, whether you're, ascended or you were just, a caster, whether you're a caster at home watching, just a casual player, and just tune into Pokemon because you enjoy it. Pokemon Unite on the world stage, super biased opinion, easiest and most engaging game to watch on the fly, no question, when it comes to the Pokemon branded games. I think that's something you need to capture immediately. And I think the lull after Worlds to where we stand now is a very difficult mountain to climb again until Worlds happens again and naturally does it itself,
Sure.
right? But if we want to capture, if we want this game to grow, if we want it to lean into these, what we'll call the heavyweight organizations, right? The ones that everybody can recognize their branding of. We need to ride this high. We need to show that it is something that is worth investment on a year in, year out basis. And the way you do that is to have more competitions, more heavyweight games to throw down. So if we had some of those winter events, if we maybe had just like a spark up amateur event where, hey, if you had gotten championship points in the year before, in the previous UCS season, you're not allowed to play in this one. And then you give a bunch of upstarts the chance to get, on screen, casted, get some of that feeling, get some of that energy, and get people to buy in. I mean, those are just other ideas too. So, I don't know. I feel like the lull has lasted way too long. I want the announcement too. I want to know where this ship is headed, because I'm obviously gassed up. I think the three of, excuse me, the four of us wouldn't be on this podcast if we didn't believe in the future of this game,
Oh, yeah.
moving forward. So, hey, let us look in the crystal ball a little bit. Show us what that future can be, so we can help get the folks there. And we've got a lot of influential people here in the chat. Ender, Laz, big community members. People are jazzed up. People are excited about this game. Now we just need to bring everybody else along and help people understand what this thing has to offer, which is quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm completely agreeing with you on all fronts. Yeah, the off season definitely could have been filled with a lot more competition. Hopefully next year we have the space to do so. Whether or not there's even like doesn't even need to be, I know as a caster say that, doesn't even need to be an official broadcast, right? Like just have something with TO's run. Because I know when you get an official broadcast, like you have to pay contracted out for whatever broadcast company you're going to use to publish your game. They might be on contract only for a certain amount of times. Who knows? Just put on something. People will handle the broadcast on their own. Unite Mics definitely will cover whatever we can. There are a lot of other people that are going to stream and cast it as well, right? So there's just give us something to play for. It's all I really desire. But yeah, I think it is going to be a great season two. I just hope it comes around a little sooner rather than later, or at least the news of it comes around sooner than later. We are very close knocking on the door finishing off this show. But Lesnar, you did mention one team that you thought was really popping off in this offseason. You were already talking about Radiance. You think that they are a fantastic squad. You are a little biased, but I am curious about all of us. We do cast a lot of tournaments. We watch some players. Ender, you're playing with these people against all the time. I don't know how much your team's scrimming right now, but I know just you're playing in tournaments, absolute grinders, of course. So what are some players and teams that we are on the lookout for in UCS Season 2? Hopefully new players or new teams, but even a team that participated last year that you think could be a bit on the come up, definitely worth a mention too. If you don't got anybody, no worries. But last one, talked a little bit about Radiance. Give these folks some time to think of what their options are.
So Radiance consists of Kennekun top lane. Kennekun was on the team Waterspout Gaming for regionals. That team did not perform particularly well, but Kennekun did look like a huge standout in the games they did play. Unfortunately, they only played two games because of some internal issues. Then they have Katie in the jungle. Katie, like I said, is one of the players I was on the first team that I ever coached. She
known
has been...
Talonflame God. Known Talonflame
yes,
God.
Yes, she is the absolute best Talonflame. You cannot change my mind. She has been drastically improving over the course of the past year. Excellent, very supportive style jungler, which is very rare in this scene. Most junglers are very carry-oriented. Then you have their attacker, Stockings.
Yeah.
She sort of appeared out of the blue one day. Like, all of a sudden, you just kept seeing the Mew clips on your Twitter feed every single day.
Like, actually, though, that was how I was introduced to Stockings, was just Twitter clip after Twitter clip. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like,
okay, yeah.
This girl's insane. Like, she's so good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ghost Pop Ruby from the old BTTV squad from last year that they played for pretty much all of UCS. They played top 16 in May. And then
who I go to for every Hoopa build I have ever made. I'm always DMing Ruby. I'm like, Hoopa build now. And she usually has something for me. But yeah.
And the Drapirior also from that original squad, but then also her current name is Sky in game. Yeah. She used to be known as Drapirior last year, though. And then she was also on Syndicates.
That's right. They,
yeah. Although she did take a break for a little bit. But yeah, she's absolute like top three tank, genuinely. Like, she's insane. Mm-hmm. Best shot caller of the game.
Yeah. Notable tournament placings for this team throughout the offseason, too, and a lot of community tournaments, taking down some huge names, of course. Ender, you have been defeated by this team before, I believe. I'm sure you've defeated them as well. Don't worry. I'm not going to just throw TTV under the bus, but it has been a very, very exciting team to watch in the offseason, for sure. People that I'm very much looking forward to upcoming in the UCS Season 2. But, Ender, so your piece, any players or teams that you were looking forward to watching in UCS?
I gotta give Radiance the credit where credit's due. Absolutely. They've been practicing as a squad, I think. I think they scrim or they five stack together a lot, and it's shown. Like, you know, so kudos to them. They beat us up in a tourney, I think, last month. As it stands right now, for me, it's me, Lutano, Zagrug is our, we have like a three man team, I guess, and a lot of times we're playing with Otter and Retsu, but until we have an announcement, until, you know, the game's kind of like refreshed, those are my boys that I've been playing with. Toon's back in the UK, and Goose obviously moved on to another other projects. But yeah, card we us three Slayer. Have stayed together. Yeah, I mean, he's crushing it in the card game. I'm really proud of him. But yeah, us three, like, we're not really practicing together. We're not we five stack at the start of the season to get master because it's fun. We do it again, and then we don't really get together to play. So I'm honestly, like, looking forward to seeing some of the old school players that I played with adapt to new roles, like Lutano, swap from being a top laner to a jungler. Like, I'm obviously really, really biased, but, you know, seeing players make those adaptations, Retsu went from being top laner to support to now probably the most all-rounder player that is in the scene. Like, literally, you know, he messes around and can play anything. I'm just interested to see how people adapt to new roles and they take on new responsibilities that they might not have had last season.
I was going to say, I remember playing with that guy at like 3 a.m. spamming Decidueye Attacker. It was a blast.
He's been everywhere, man. Retsu can play it all. Absolutely. Yeah, I think those are fantastic shoutouts. Yeah, Retsu really has made their way around the block with all roles. The game's changed now. Roles seem different headed into UCS Season 2, and they still are being flexible. So, obviously, a world's caliber player was there playing on the world stage, so you cannot... a lot of credit definitely goes their way. Dupesnax, any players or teams that you have been on your brain?
Yeah, for me, it's Clash. Going to leave North America. Getting to watch Clash, a team that unfortunately wasn't able to make it, qualify for the World Championships, was not able to make it to London to compete. But we've had them on Unite Mike's Mayhem. They've been running through some of these other community events. They're a team that just hasn't stopped playing. They've kept grinding it out. And I think they're more driven than before, having punched their ticket to the World Championships and not been able to attend. I think they have a lot to prove to themselves. I think they want to make a name for themselves at the community as a whole outside of just their region. And they've had a lot, they've been a lot of fun to watch the times that you and I have gotten to cast them, Zoinks. So that's just a team that was on my radar because I knew they qualified for Worlds, but I never really kind of hit our sphere. But having been able to cast them and follow them over this offseason, it's been a lot of fun. So shouts to Clash. That's a team that I found pretty exciting. And that has literally not set down the controllers after Worlds. They just kept grinding it out and playing. So shout out. True.
I think only one or two roster swaps too. So like almost the exact same team running it back as well with some like new firepower being added to the roster. So I think they're hype. They also like have a rivalry with your team, Ender, a little bit. It's my favorite thing. Like after Unite Mike's Bama got messages, they're like, we get the rematch versus TTV, right? I'm like, I'll try. That, I don't know what I can do.
That
like,
best of three was fire.
It was a great
match. It was so good. It was such a good match.
Yeah, I want to see them play on No Ping. Like, I really want to. Like, I think they have the chops. They're a fun team to watch. They got some great skill. It's going to be really, really exciting. My specific picks, of course, if we're in North America, I mean, it's got to be Oblivion. I really do think this attacker player is, like, got the stuff. The brain play is amazing. Hero, like, Pokemon available play pool is so deep. Like, very bad. The Buzzwole pick, I can't tell if it's troll. I can't tell if it's God tier. It wins them a lot of games, is what I am saying. But, of course, their Mew play is exceptional. I think maybe only out-tiered by, like, Otter, in my opinion, in North America, if I was to, like, watch them play. I'm just making these, like, I haven't watched these players play that much in, like, last couple weeks, but from what I've seen, like, I think Oblivion and Otter, really, really fantastic players in their attacker role. If we're going to Europe, I think Gatlu even mentioned them in chat, Utah is just, like, sick. Their in-game name is Sora right now in Europe, but if you've been watching them at all in the tournament scene, they are incredible. Their Greninja, I think, is, like, the most electric Greninja that I have ever watched play, and that's saying a lot. North America has some crazy flashy Greninja players. Utah is amazing. Like, one of the most carry players ever. Played for Team France in Pump's off-season regional tournament, which is really, really great to watch. Love that play. Okay, he's going by Ram now. Okay, great. So a third name change. Wonderful. So that's the player that I'm thinking from Europe. So yeah, some really, really great prospects, of course. I know a lot of players are going to be coming back. There's some free agents, you know, sort of floating around with the future of Nemesis kind of up in the air. Like, those teams, those players have kind of all found new homes. So excited to see if some players come back. Some players might not, of course. But, you know, there's some big names there that I am excited to see. Yeet fans been playing the game again. Who knows where the stacking Decidueye Extraordinaire will end up. I am excited to see it. Now, we are going to be closing up on this episode. It's episode 1 of season 2, but it is episode 48, so we are going to be closing on episode 48 of Overdunk. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. We'll go around with just a quick round of plugs. Everybody can just plug where to find them on the timeline, things like that. Dupesnacks, where can people follow you on the internet?
I didn't think I was going to be first. At Dupesnacks, DOOBSNAX. Please follow on Twitter at Unite Mikes. Follow on all the socials. It's Unite Mics everywhere. But for Twitch specifically, if you sub or use your Prime sub to us, we donate all that money at the end of the month that comes in. We don't keep any of it. We just donate. It's called our emote initiative. So you get our emotes, but also your money goes to a good cause at the end of each month. And we post those receipts on Twitter as a little bit of a self-check there to make sure that we're staying above board. And we need to give away an Urshifu license real quick.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Are you wanting me to do that?
I can work it on the fly here. As everybody's going around. Exactly.
Okay, sounds good. Lazarus, where can people follow you on the internet?
Twitch, I stream every Monday, and then usually on patch day. Sometimes I'll just forget because I'm too busy working on the patch.
Sure.
Lazarus 11 here. Lazarus 1 on Twitter. You can find really all my links on my link tree, which is just Lazarus.
Cool.
And then my team Ascended. We're getting, like, I say this every week, but we're getting really close to the rebrand launch. It's like this close.
So
it's gonna be Ascended Unite everywhere.
Cool.
We're finally got our new logo in place and everything. It looks sick. I cannot wait.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's super cool. Okay, yeah, go follow Ascending Unite everywhere if you want to follow the former world. You're still the world champion. It's going to be former. No one's taken that throne away quite yet. Ender, how about you? Where can people find you?
Twitch.tv/Ender. If I'm usually live. If I'm not live, I'm probably asleep. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, from there you can get to all of my socials. So, yeah, check me out on there.
Good stuff. Go follow if you're watching there now already. Send some love from the Unite Mics folks over here on our Twitch chat. You can follow me at Zoinkscast on Twitter, but of course, youtube.com/UniteMics is where all these episodes get posted in video form, but we are a podcast, so we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you want to listen, at your local library. With your headphones on your phone, we aren't in local libraries. But you can listen to Overdunk there. We got episodes, 48 episodes there for you. One note, though, just a little bit of talk shop show stuff. I chose to not post the Jeopardy episode with Ascended on the podcast feed. I watched the video back. It's unlistenable in podcast form. There's way too many visual clues. If you tried to watch it in podcast, I think it would be very, very terrible. So if you are a podcast-only listener, I'm sorry. The game of Jeopardy we played a week ago or 2 weeks ago at this point, I can't remember, will be posted just on YouTube. It's already up there now. You can go check out that video. It's a lot of fun. If you like that stuff, please leave a comment there or something like that so we can do more. Last thing before the giveaway, we do have one plug from Unite Mics. Tomorrow we are kicking off Unite Mics Mayhem. We did have to push it back 1 week, but Unite Mics Mayhem week one is going to be happening. We are going to be playing draft format, not the in-game mode. We're going to be doing it ourselves, but we have in our round number one is going to be Zeese, otherwise known as XIS if you're not from around there, but Zeese versus Kakuna Matata is going to be our round number one. So Kakuna Matata, you know, North America tournament grinders versus the representatives at the World Championships for Brazil. And then on the other side of the bracket, we have GT versus Shungite. Shungite, OG and JL's team that they have been playing with in tournaments as of recently. Of course, those teams are going to play. The winners of that is just going to be three best of threes total. Find it tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on twitch.tv/UniteMics. Now, I think I'm finally done with all of my plugs. Doosnacks, are you ready for the giveaway?
I actually already drew it. Katie Bug actually won it.
Wow. Okay. I did the drawing shout out. There, shout so. Out. We gave them shout outs all over the podcast. So we're also going to give them a Unite license. So, Katie, we will definitely reach out and get that to you. So sorry for everybody who was attempting to get it in chat. But yes, it is going to be a very exciting tournament. Thanks, everybody, for joining the show. Thank you to the three of you so, so much for joining me as co-hosts on this episode and going forward. We're going to have a lot of fun. But I have been Zoinks. They have been three of the best people in the entire world. This has been episode 48 of Overdunk. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.